Welcome again to our studies on wisdom literature from the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are many subjects that flow through that book. And the subject that I want to take for our session now is the words of our lips. The words of our lips. How important our words are. I think we shall see from this study of the book of Proverbs. And one thing we are told in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so, in a very real sense, you know, our words are powerful. May we look at creation for a moment. And in creation, we find that God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. What God said was created. In other words, if God said something, it came to pass. Because words are creative. Words are creative. And they are for death or for life. And so we want to be very careful concerning this, because what we speak will come back upon us. Words travel. Words travel. And to give you an idea of the importance of life and the words that we speak, the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. He said that we shall have to give an account for every idle word that we have spoken. Every idle word that we have spoken. And can we think of how many words we speak in a day? Well, it's estimated a woman speaks 10,000, a man 1,000. Well, every idle word that we speak, a word that we say without thinking, God says we shall have to give an account on the day of judgment for that idle word. And so, we're going to see, I think, in this study, that we have to be very careful what we say. And we are reading in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 10 and verse 19, that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. There wanteth not sin. So it is very clear indeed that the more we speak, the more dangerous it is. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, the more we speak, the more dangerous it is, because sin abounds the more we speak. So, we've got to think, therefore, very carefully now, that we need to consider what we say. And so, we're going to have a look at some of the admonitions, some of the warnings, some of the correction instruction that the book of Proverbs will give concerning this. And in chapter 15 and about verse 20, it says this, that the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. And looking at that very carefully, we realize this, that it is from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so the condition of our heart is going to determine the words that we say. And we'll come on to that a bit later. But The thought of a multitude of words wanteth not sin. It's clear that the sinner speaks too much. But the righteous is quite different. You see, the righteous, when somebody says something, he will think very carefully before he answers. Before he answers. It gives this word, he studieth to answer. Now you know when you study, you meditate, you look at dictionaries, you look at sources of information. Before you put down an answer to a question, well, it is with that same meticulous attitude that the righteous study to answer. I want to emphasize that word study. You know, so often one answers flippantly. Off the top of our head, we have the attitude of saying, don't we? Oh, she answers off the top of her head. In other words, she didn't think before she spoke. But isn't that true of so many? But let us try and assimilate this phrase, the righteous studieth to answer. In other words, when there's a situation ariseth and when a question is put to us, now what we should do is what the judges do, and when something is presented to them, they don't have to answer immediately. And there is a phrase in the judicial system of England and perhaps America and elsewhere, where the judge will say, when a question is asked him and a decision is expected from him, he will say, I will take it under advisement. In other words, he is not sure how he should answer. But a judge must never answer quickly, because how he answers determines the fate of the person who is before him. And so he uses that phrase that he will take it under advisement. He will take it under advisement. And you know, I have to read a lot, of course, not only in the Bible, but elsewhere. But I was reading on the life, the short papacy of 33 days of Pope John Paul I. And it was very interesting that the curia was seeking to say that he was a simple person, meaning that he made a mistake in picking up a pill or something and taking it, and, you know, he died because of it. Well, that was not true. The person that investigated very carefully his papacy was a man, an investigative journalist by the name of David Yellop. And he went and saw a number of the cardinals who had dealings with Pope John Paul I when he ascended to the papacy. And one of the questions he asked was this. Now, you came into the presence, he's speaking to a cardinal, you came into the presence of the Pope and you had a series of questions. And the cardinal said, yes. And he said, well, how did the Pope respond? Well, he said, there were a series of questions I put to the Pope, and he answered just like that, you know, almost immediately. And he said, you know, every answer he gave me would have been the answer that I myself would have given. But he said there was one question that the Pope was unwilling to answer at that moment. And he said, I must think about it. And you know, the cardinal said it was the wisest move, because he hadn't got all the facts. And because he had not got all the facts, he would not have been able to make a rational statement. In other words, this man, John Paul I, was a righteous man, and he studied to answer. But he was no fool. He was a very intelligent person. And so there you have the thought, you know, studying to answer. And you're not obliged to answer things immediately. You know, nobody is going to berate you if you say, you know, I need to think about this. I need some more information on this before I can answer you. No, that's the response of a very wise person. And so as we continue, you know, our study on the words of our lips, let us indeed, you know, mull over what we've already said. And you know, words. Do you know one of the things that King Solomon says about words? That they are like choice silver. Choice silver. Choice silver. And sometimes, you know, I've been in a position where I've gone to a country and they've said to me, well, 5 years ago you said this. You know, they remember what you say. In fact, I had a situation just recently where someone remembered speaking to me 40 years ago and my reply, of course I had no knowledge of what I said then, I couldn't remember, but they remembered because that word was just the word they needed. And I want you to think on that. You know, words as choice silver. Choice silver. People remember your words. That is why I'm very careful about eating with anybody. I try and avoid it as much as possible because, you know, they're going to pepper me with all kinds of questions and, you know, expect me to answer. No, I think you should be very careful, you know, with whom you permit to come into your presence and be very guarded about the questions you permit people to ask you. Because, you know, in answering quickly, you can have tragic results too. Well, so choice silver, isn't that beautiful? Choice silver. Well now, we continue. And I want to bring out another thought concerning words. You know, the Lord speaks about being holy and being perfect. He said, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, how do you define perfection? And it is to the Word of God that we must go for the definition of perfection. And we get it from the Lord's half-brother, James. And James helps us tremendously in his epistle in chapter 3 and verse 2. He says this, mark the man who controls his tongue. There is the perfect man. So a perfect man is one who does not offend in word. Because James says that the one who can control his tongue can control every other member of his body. You know, he goes on to speak of the tongue being like a rudder in a ship. You know, the rudder is a very small, shall I say, member of a ship. But all that rudder can determine the direction of the ship. This mighty ship is controlled by a tiny rudder. And he said, what little member that rudder is, but it controls the whole ship. Then he likens it, you see, to the tongue. And he says, you know, the tongue is a very little member, Vatican set the whole ship on fire, as it were. You know, it can cause all kinds of trouble. You know, think of a ship, a rudder. Well, you know, the ship's captain has got to control that rudder very carefully. For example, we're speaking winter time, and there was a news recently of a very important cruise ship in the southern hemisphere that struck ice and was taking on water, and the passengers and crew had to be rescued. Well, what was the reason for it? It struck ice. In other words, the rudder was turned in such a way that the ship hit ice instead of avoiding it. Well, the cost was the ship sank. Now then, you see, we have the Titanic. The Titanic was the largest ship in the world in its time, in the early 1900s. It was called the unsinkable ship. And all the maiden voyage, everybody who was anybody wanted to be on that ship. And so they were on the ship. But you know, an interesting thing was this. The captain was warned that ice was in a certain area. He was so drunk that he didn't pay any attention. And instead of giving orders that the rudder should be turned and the ship should be directed in another way, down another path, if I could say that, he didn't give that order. And so the rudder kept the ship on course, and it hit a submerged iceberg, and contrary to all expectations, sunk. Well, you know, just turning that rudder a little could have turned the Titanic away from the ice, and it... Now then, you see, the tongue gives guidance. The tongue will tell a person, oh, go to the right, or go to the left. You see, just a little word. But that little word is going to direct a person, perhaps for a very long time. It's going to send a person down a path which can be a blessing or can be disaster. And so you see, these words that we speak are like choice silver, if spoken directly and correctly, because people come back to you after years and say, I came to you for counsel, and you said this word to me. You said this word to me. And because of that word, I turned myself into a certain direction, and I have been mightily blessed, and I have been so fruitful, and I've been so joyful because of that word from your lips. You know, I was asked in a phone call from a certain person concerning a son who was sick. And this lady said to me, she said, what do you think I should do? And I this word just came to me. I said, keep him under surveillance, medical surveillance. And you know, she phoned me back in a few days. She said, thank you for that word, because I kept him under medical surveillance, and he was rushed to hospital, you know, to preserve him from a very dangerous medical situation. Surveillance, just a word. You see, words have impact. See, what we say is going to direct a person, like a rudder or a ship, going to direct them in the right path. Now then, I want to say this concerning the power of the tongue. We've said it's life and death. Now, there is something that I would like to say concerning marriage and concerning the fact if you're in a, shall I say, a situation where others govern you but are not always upright. There's a scripture in Proverbs 25 and verse 18 where it says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. A soft tongue breaketh the bone. Now then, the thing that I want to say is this. You know, you have a situation where people, you know, are adamant. They are determined to do a certain thing. But you are not in a position to countermand that order. You might be the wife and the husband says, we'll do this, but you know it's wrong. But here is a scripture that was given to a wife that I know, a very lovely person, and concerning her husband. And she cried unto the Lord and said, he is giving wrong direction. He is giving wrong direction. And the Lord gave her this scripture. He said, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded. A soft tongue breaketh the bone. And he said, the softness of your voice will eventually break the hardness of his will. And in the end, he will be persuaded of that which is right. And you know, that is not only good for a wife with a difficult husband, but it's good, you know, for your boss or your CEO or somebody like that who's giving instructions that you know that are not right, but you can't go in and say, well, you know, you're foolish saying this. But it's a soft tongue that breaketh the bone. A soft tongue that breaketh the bone. And there are one or two other things I want to say here, and we touched on it a little earlier, but I want to repeat it because it's so important, is what the Lord says concerning the heart and the mouth. And the Lord speaks precisely on this matter in Matthew chapter 12, and he says this, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then he goes on to say, good men, out of the good treasure of their heart, bringeth good works. In other words, you know, it's like our heart is a treasure house. And if we are good, then from out of our heart, through our mouth, will come good words of choice silver. Words that will bring life, words that will encourage, words that will bring hope, words that will lift people up, words that will put people on their right course. If we have a good heart, then the words of our lips are going to be good also. They are going to be good and they are going to be health. Conversely, he says this, the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth evil things. In other words, an evil person can only speak that which is evil. And it all comes back to the heart. And so we understand, you see, why in the book of Proverbs we are encouraged to give our heart to the Lord. My son, give me your heart. And if we give our heart to the Lord and we pray as King David did, O Lord, create in me a clean heart, then the words of our lips are going to be like a life-giving stream of clear water where people can, shall I say, refresh themselves from the words that come from our lips. Oh, how important it is to understand that in the mouth there is death or life. death or life. Oh, that we choose life. But we can only do so because our lips are controlled from our heart. Therefore, we must go to the Lord and say, oh Lord, give me a clean heart, give me a pure heart, so that out of my heart flows good treasure, flows words that, like choice silver, shall direct people, shall encourage people, shall lift them up, shall cause them to continue on the way of righteousness. Yes, words have to be studied, don't they? We have to think very carefully about what we say. And let's be like good Pope John Paul I, who studied to answer. Be like the judge who took things under advisement. And in so doing, then every word that we speak will be choice words, will be words that are good and true, and words that will bring forth eternal fruit in the lives of those to whom we speak. Because without realizing it, our words govern people. And so let those words be good words, words of life, words anointed by the Spirit of God. And they'll bring forth fruit that abides. And you'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou the joy of thy Lord. God bless you. Amen.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverley, New York. For those of you who are interested in reading or studying more, you may purchase the book, Wisdom Literature, and many other books from our bookstore at the number which will follow. If you have been blessed and encouraged and would like to donate financially towards the cost of this program, you may do so by calling our toll-free number with credit card details or by sending a check to Zion Fellowship at the address which follows.